welcome to the Essential Tennis Podcast. If you love tennis and want to improve your game, this podcast is for you. Whether it's technique, strategy, equipment, or the mental game, tennis professional Ian Westerman is here to make you a better player. And now, here's Ian.
Hi, and welcome to the Essential Tennis Podcast, your place for free expert tennis instruction that can truly help you improve your game. Well, today on the podcast, I'm going to have my good friend Jason Cole back on the show, and we are going to be discussing how to hit aggressively but still stay consistent. How do you bridge that gap between being tentative and just trying to get the ball in play and hitting hard but kind of missing too many shots? So we're going to talk about how to work on that in your practice play and how to correctly use it in your match play as well, hitting the ball more aggressively. I really hope that you guys have been enjoying the Australian Open as much as I have since it started last week. It's just such a treat to watch high-level tennis on TV, and especially that much of it. I'm blessed to have DirecTV and their coverage of it with five courts of play while play is going on, and I just can't get enough of it. Keep in mind that we have a contest going with the new chat at EssentialTennis.com in the forums. In order to enter, all you have to do is send a chat during the men's or women's finals match, which is going to be coming up later this week. Just log into the forums, sign up for an account, go to the chat during the finals, either the men's or the women's, and if you send a chat during those matches, I will enter you into a contest to win five sets of Gamma TNT2 16-gauge strain. All you have to do is go and chat with other tennis enthusiasts like yourself. And let me just say that during this week, I've had a great time chatting with all of you who have been in there in the chat room, especially live during matches. It's a lot of fun to talk with all of you guys and discuss the matches and players. All right, let's get down to business and get started on our instruction for today. Sit back, relax, and get ready for some great tennis instruction.
And now it's time for the Essential Tennis Focus topic of the week.
Hey, Jason, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Well, thanks a lot for coming back on the show. I really had a good time having you on the podcast the first time. And I'm happy that we have a topic here that I know we both feel strongly about. And it's an important topic. And I think the two of us putting our heads together and discussing it is probably going to be very worthwhile for our listeners. Assuming two heads is in fact better than one.
At least our two heads will come close to one, I would think.
Yeah, somewhere around there. Let's hope it turns out that way. Well, our question today comes from Sally. And Sally posted this question in the forums in the podcast section. Sally, thank you so much for your contributions, as always. Sally is a very enthusiastic 4.0 player, and we hear from her all the time in the forums, and I've answered her questions here before. Today, she asks a question about consistency while trying to advance her game and hit more aggressively at the same time. I'll read her question here. It's a little bit long, but I'm going to go through the whole thing because I think it's worth hearing kind of where her thoughts are and where she's at. I'm sure many of you listening are going to be able to identify with what she's talking about, and this is a very important topic that Jason and I are going to be covering. So she wrote in the forums and said, "Recently I was talking to my husband about my tennis experience on the court during practice. I described how I was really seeing and hitting the ball the way I want to, with relaxed long swings and pretty decent pace, and hitting deep corners with nice topspin as well. It felt so good. My hitting partner and I drilled like this for 2 hours and then finally played out points where I lost terribly, and quite frankly, I think I should have won. But she had one thing I didn't have, consistency. She got everything back, was extremely fast, running and stretching for balls, barely getting them back, and then I would hit into the net or miss wide. So my question is, do I hold back and play safe so I can be more consistent, which is what I usually do, and I hate that," she says. She hates just being consistent and just getting it back in play without much else. "Or do I practice hitting all out at my optimum ability, which I love doing, and hoping that consistency will come with practice? I hate holding back as much as I hate missing, and I love hitting at my optimum best, but I compromise my consistency when I do that. So in order to be more consistent, should I give up power? Do I simply need to drill and practice more, or is it in my head? Should I will the ball to stay in? I'm too nice, I think. Any thoughts? And that wraps up her question, basically. So Sally's dilemma here is, should I be hitting aggressively and hit, she puts it at her optimum best, at 100% basically, or should she be sacrificing her power and her aggressiveness and be smart and just put the ball in play? Well, Sally, Jason and I are really going to go through this in detail, and basically, as we go through, you're going to find that the answer lies somewhere kind of in between those two extremes. The first thing I wanted to say to you, Sally, and Jason, I want to get your thoughts on this as well. Sally, the first thing I wanted to say was, it's great that you're having this dilemma. It's great that you're having this problem. It means that you're challenging yourself when you get out there on the practice court and you're playing, sounds like a really good practice partner who's giving you a lot of repetition and getting balls back in play. And in trying to beat her, you're attempting to raise your game and hit more aggressively to make her miss. The fact that you're dealing with this is great. It means you are trying to advance your game. You're not just sticking with what you're just comfortable with and only doing that. What do you think, Jason?
No, I love it. I mean, I think if you're trying to get better when you're out there and you're actually thinking, like obviously you are, then that's the first step. So many people are just mindlessly swinging at balls that, to have just the thought process is great.
Yeah. Definitely. It's very important that you guys just have an overall mentality or attitude of wanting to get to the next level. And those of you who are listening to this podcast right now, I know that hopefully that must be where you are, because you're taking the time to listen to instruction and get input, and you want to improve very badly. But Jay, what do you think about, in general, players who, you know, it's smart tennis, you're trying to just get the ball back in play, but it, in my experience in watching club players play, it seems like a lot of times they kind of get stuck in that mode of just being safe. Do you see that as well?
Absolutely, and I think it's kind of funny because we seem to have two modes of offense and defense, and that is it. And,
yeah.
You know, I see players who are good players, you know, 4.0, 4.5 players who can rip the ball, do a great job with it. They do it in practice. They get in a match, and they'll start doing it. And if it's going well, then they can sustain it no problem. If it doesn't go well, they go from that offense strain into defensive pushing in the middle of the court mode. The thing I don't understand is when they're on offense, why they're aiming so close to the line. You know, you can hit great offensive penetrating balls that really make a difference and have them be in by 2.5 yards, Seems like our defense mode doesn't go into normal, you know, promising cross court patterns. Our defense mode is just hitting the ball straight in the middle of the court, and then our offense mode unfortunately goes more towards hitting the line.
Sure,
you know, that's where we run into trouble in both wings.
So kind of being all or nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, never. In my experience, probably never a good way to approach a lot of things in life. either doing absolutely 100% or just kind of the bare minimum. Usually something in the middle is going to be the best. Do you have something else to say there?
One match out of 30, you're a god, but the other times, it might not work out well for you.
Well, anyway, and we're going to get into detail with what Jason was just talking about, picking a safe target, etc. But the first thing I wanted to say to you, Sally, was it's great you're putting yourself out of your comfort zone, and now you're kind of in that kind of space in between where you're not sure which way to go. Well, let's get into this topic, Jason, and give her some advice on exactly what direction she should be taking with this. And we have this broken up into two main topics: hitting aggressively or balancing out that consistency and aggressiveness in practice play, and also balancing out that consistency and aggressiveness in competition and point play as well. So what do you say we get started with hitting aggressively in practice first, Jay?
Well, you know, I think that the two of those are pretty well tied together. I wouldn't suggest going for anything in practice that you wouldn't go for in a match, and I think you should be disappointed when you miss in practice too. You know, a lot of the pressure comes off of people when they're practicing. They hit five great shots, then they miss one. They don't think much about it, then hit five great shots, and you know, they kind of in their mind totally forget about any shots that they might have missed because it didn't count for anything.
Sure.
You know, when in reality, and you're playing a match, you hit those five great shots and miss one, obviously you're thinking, oh my, you know, why am I not making them all when I was before?
Yeah, right. You conveniently forget about the misses sometimes, huh?
Yeah, well, if it doesn't count for anything, you know, the person you're playing against just hits it back and keeps going.
Sure.
Yeah, it's easy to overlook that and then get a little bit of a false sense of confidence. Like, yeah, I just hit a bunch right next to the line. Well, maybe three of them were out, but you know, you
right.
didn't notice because it wasn't a match.
Right.
So, yeah, I would say, you know, in practice, I would guess, well, just to make a blanket statement, I'm a pretty good player, and I don't really aim closer than a yard to the line ever. So if you're not a lot better player than I am, then you probably don't ever want to aim closer than a yard.
Yeah, let's and in fact that's our good segue, Jason. That's our first topic here under hitting aggressively in practice. We're going to talk about three main topics here about practicing this way. One having to do with your target, the next one about how you swing, and lastly we're going to talk about repetition. But let's talk about where to aim, Jason. That I'm sure that comes as a surprise to some people. You know, you played high level Division II college tennis, and also played is it Futures or Challengers afterwards?
Futures over in Europe. Yeah,
played Futures after college. So you're telling me, what did you say? A yard? You're never inside a yard with your target?
And that's if I'm offensive.
Sure.
If I'm on the offense,
sure that comes
I'm
as
not
a big surprise.
Than a yard.
Well, how come? I'm sure that comes as a big surprise to a lot of listeners that somebody as high of a level of player as yourself wouldn't just aim for the line. Why wouldn't you just aim for the line?
Well, you know, the thing is, if I practice and I'm standing still with just a nice, easy ball coming at me, mm-hmm. I can probably hit a ball within a yard of the line 9 out of 10 times. But as that ball starts to move around and have spin and I'm playing an opponent, you know, it's just not worth it to miss that one. So
sure.
You want to hit the ball, you know, obviously you've got more difficult balls coming to you in a match. And, you know, missing that one easy one because you're aiming there, you just don't gain from it.
Sure,
so
sure.
In most cases, and when you watch professionals on TV, maybe the Aussie Open play, they do hit closer than a yard, but it's not because they're aiming there. They missed their target, and then it fortunately ended up more near a line than they were trying for.
Sure. So they're giving themselves margin for error, and anytime they're really close to the line, they probably weren't actually aiming in that specific spot. But it was somewhere close to there, but they quote-unquote missed their target and were a little closer to the line than they planned.
Sure. A serve would be maybe the only exception, I think.
Okay.
With the serve, most high-end people can aim within an inch or two, maybe even aim for the line and be successful. But on any sort of ground strokes or volleys, anything that we don't have full control over because of the ball coming at you, then you know you're not aiming close.
All right. So that's our first point: have an appropriate target. And if Sally, let's be specific here, Jay. If Sally is a 4-0 player and she's shooting to become a 4.5. Let's say on a typical rally ball where you know she's trading ground strokes with her opponent back and forth, if she's aiming for one side of the court or the other to get her opponent on the run, let's just say a cross-court forehand on the deuce side. In my opinion, I think for a 4-0 player, a typical average cross-court ground stroke should probably be aimed, I would say 5 or 6 feet inside both lines. The sideline and the baseline, I think, would be a relatively safe and appropriate target. What do you think? More than that? Less than that?
No, that sounds about right. I would say for Sally, general, because I read her post and I know she's trying to add a little bit of power.
Yeah.
If you're trying to add power, then aim even safer until you get comfortable with it. You know,
sure.
As you feel like, okay, I'm adding power. It's 8 feet inside the line. Maybe I can go 6 feet now. Sure, that's reasonable. As a comfort zone for a normal player, yeah, about 5 or 6 feet sounds good. But one trap that I would try not to fall into is just thinking, hit cross court. Okay, I want to hit to the forehand. Got it.
All right.
You know, have a target there in your mind. Obviously, you can't put a cone on the court during a match, but you've got to be responsible for whether or not you hit anywhere near that target. So if I'm aiming within 5 feet of both the sideline and the baseline, you know, I got to know how close I came to it so I can adjust my next stroke. I don't want to just say, oh, it's in. Good.
I totally agree. Yeah. And using a target, guys, be as specific as possible. While you're practicing, and as Jay said, while you're playing too, be very specific. A phrase that I've heard before, and I think usually pertains more to target shooting, but a phrase I've heard before is aim small, miss small. Have a very small, specific target, and you'll probably, in general, be closer to your target than if you just have a very general space where you're trying to hit.
Yeah, you know, tennis is all about feel, and you want to feel whether or not you made the shot. You've got to know what felt coming off your racket, how close that came, and then make the likewise adjustment.
Yeah.
I always say to people, oh, where are you aiming? I say, oh, cross court. Well, you missed by 6 yards long, but you hit it cross court. So that's successful.
You didn't really miss your target. Right, exactly.
Yeah, you know, you did exactly what you were doing. You didn't hold yourself, you know, accountable for hitting it in the court. So you're probably not going to take much away from that.
Right. All right, let's move on. Our next topic is using an appropriate swing. We're going to talk about technique, and we're going to talk about speed as well. Let's talk about speed first. We're talking about raising the aggressiveness of her ground strokes. And Jason, you posted a good post having to do with this specifically in Sally's thread about how much effort she should be putting into this swing. Should she be swinging that 100%? When she goes for this more aggressive shot, what do you think?
No, I would say almost never in tennis should you swing at 100%. In reasonable ground strokes, obviously we're right onto the net, then I think you should be going for about 70 to 85%.
Okay.
Anything over that is probably venturing on the realm of just not worth it. You're gonna
make, I agree,
money, and it's probably not going to hurt the person anymore to have that 100%. So why risk it?
So on average, probably 70-80%. And we're talking about kind of total physical effort. If 100% is as hard as you can physically swing at the ball, anything over 75-80% is probably going to result in more errors than shots you actually make. So it's just statistically, it's just not worth it at all. I thought that was a very, very good point. So be reasonable and appropriate when you guys decide how to actually practice these shots. Go ahead, Jay.
And one thing I always forget when I mention that is that's talking about with your arms and your upper body. Your lower body should be at 100% for every shot. I think that's difficult for people to
separate
those two when they hear, you know, slow down your stroke. All of a sudden you see their arms slow down, but their legs don't get in position.
Sure.
You know, that's 100% legs, 75% arms, you're still hitting a good ball at that point. If you go with 80% legs, then, you know, realistically you're down to about 55 or 60% of your total power, which isn't where we want to be either.
I agree. And then last point on the speed thing, you and I were talking before the show, and you were saying that you think it's worth mentioning that we're talking about raising kind of the speed of your game, Sally, as a whole, and not just on one particular shot. Why don't you go ahead and explain that, Jay?
Well, you know, it was just when you look to increase your overall performance and your pace, which is what you've said you wanted to do here, Sally,
right.
You know, it should be raising it by just a little bit on every single rally ball. You know, the little bit harder that you hit it means your opponent probably hits it back just a little bit weaker, and then you can hit the same pace again and keep them on the defensive. Don't look to increase it by 10 to 15 miles an hour per ground stroke.
Right.
That's a little bit overdoing it, you know.
Right.
You also don't want to hit 5 normal ground strokes and then just blast one because you wanted to increase
right.
it.
Exactly.
You know, it's got to be a constant pressure sort of pace.
Good point. Let's go ahead and move on to we could talk a long time about this, Jason. We're just about halfway through our outline here. Let's talk now about technique, specifically topspin versus flat. So while we're practicing, hitting more aggressively, we already talked about picking a target. We need to raise our speed in general as a whole, not just once in a while, just blast the heck out of the ball. What about hitting flat or topspin? If we're trying to increase the speed of our shots, should we be hitting flatter since that's a more powerful ball?
Well, I'm fundamentally against flat balls.
Okay, yeah, why don't you go ahead and just say it how it is.
I think it's just too hard to make too many. If you're going to go with the classic Jimmy Connors continental grip, flat ball, you know, I'm not going to say that doesn't work for anybody because obviously Jimmy had a pretty good career, but that's not the easiest way to do it. You got to be a pretty talented guy for that one.
Yeah.
I think when you're looking to increase your pace, you're also looking to increase your amount of topspin. You need something to still bring this ball in the court. And
sure.
So, as you decide that you're going to swing harder, you better make sure that your stroke is technically sound and capable of producing more topspin. And not
just
swinging
totally
harder and lowering your margin. It actually should be easier to hit a ball in the court when you swing harder because you're getting more of a brush on the ball.
Right. Yeah, the way I typically describe it to my students is it's a ratio that we're trying to balance out between how much drive, or in other words, how hard, you know, how much speed we're putting on the ball, how fast we're hitting it forwards. It's a ratio between that and how much we're swinging upwards to create that topspin. Because the harder we hit it forwards, the more spin we need to keep it in play, at least consistently. It is possible to hit it dead flat and hard and in play, but when you try to do that, it has to be perfectly struck. It's got to be just barely over the net, and it's going to be just barely inside the lines because you don't have that curve, that margin for error that Jason was talking about.
Yeah, my favorite people to play were always the big, you know, the Ivan Isevic type guys. Not that I ever played him, but somebody who's willing to take that ball and just go for the really low percentage flat shot, because, you know, if you just fight and scrape a few back, they make so many errors that, you know.
Just a matter of time, really, if they're playing low percentage.
Yeah, just waiting it out, give them a couple low balls, and
right.
next thing you know, they're missing like crazy, and they think that they're playing bad. Well, you know,
they are, technically, right?
They would be, but not because of themselves. You know, you had a little hand in that
just by
fighting and making it back. But you know, back to the point, you can't be the person swinging away like a wild man and giving away all kinds of points because of it.
You've
got to add some spin, make that ball.
All right, so that wraps up using an appropriate swing. Make sure you're not over-swinging and swinging too fast. And make sure that you're adding topspin, Sally, as you increase the pace of your shots to keep it consistent. Now, last part of practicing, we talked about the target, being specific, being appropriate. We talked about the swing that I just went over. And now let's talk about repetition. And I think this is kind of the icing on the cake of practicing appropriately, Jay. There's just no substitution for repetition if you want to make this part of your game and you want it to be consistent and confident. You just have to do it again and again and again. There's just no better way to build up your game than doing as much repetition as possible. What are your thoughts on that, Jay?
Well, I agree. Obviously, there's no shortcut. If you want to learn something new, you know, whether it's tennis related or anything, you've just got to go after it and try it and try it and try it. You know, tennis is a tricky sport because, unlike playing the guitar, you can't just hit one chord and call it good. You're always hitting a different shot because you're moving to it, or it's you know, 3 inches higher or 3 inches lower, and you just need to practice that enough, unfortunately.
Sure.
There's no secret there. If you want to feel good about yourself, then hit a million balls.
Well, one other thing I'll add to that, but before we move on, and you can go ahead and comment on this as well. Not only does it have to be a million balls, you know, give or take one or two, but be focused when you guys are out there doing this. Don't just set up the ball machine and say, all right, I'm going to practice forehands for an hour and just hit forehands and not have the specific target we were talking about and not be aware of how fast you're swinging or how much topspin you have or how many in a row you're making. You need to be aware of those things. Don't just mindlessly hit. And Jay touched on that briefly earlier as well. You got to be aware of what is going on as you're doing this repetition, or else you'll be wasting your time. Anything on that, Jay?
Yeah, that's just, you know, I did mention it earlier, but that is one of my pet peeves is when somebody misses a shot and I say, well, where are we aiming? And they're like, oh, yeah. Over there.
Or, right.
Go point to where you're aiming. And they're like, oh, yeah, I guess I was just aiming for that side. Okay, well, if you're not held accountable, how are you supposed to know you missed it?
Right.
You know, whether you're going out there just to try and get your repetition and feel good, which is a great thing, which you pretty much need to do. Either way, hold yourself accountable for every shot, whether you make it or miss it, because nobody's hitting their exact target every time. In fact,
sure.
Probably not 2% of the time. So that other 98%, you better, you know, hold yourself accountable for missing. Know that you missed. Try and fix it.
Absolutely. All right, well, let's move on to competition now. So that, guys, that's how you practice to improve your game, being able to attack better, more consistently, more easily, more confidently. Now let's talk about actually using that. And unfortunately, we're almost out of time here, Jay, but I think we can get definitely some good thoughts in. I was going to say and talk about the fact that you need to transfer all those things we just talked about over to your point play, using the appropriate targets and speeds. The whole point is to practice that way so that we can transfer that kind of carbon copy that good practice and bring it over to our point play. Beyond that, Jason, let's talk about point situations. And I think that it's important to note, and we kind of touched on this in a roundabout way before, that we're not just going for that one big shot where it's like, you know, okay, you're grinding out a point, you're hitting back and forth, and then you pick a specific shot and go, all right, this is it. I'm just going to crush this ball and just hit it as hard as you can. That's not playing aggressively the way it's supposed to be. Let's talk about using this wisely, Jay, in our point situation. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm a big fan of starting a match out easy. You know, do whatever you're comfortable with. Whenever people go out to play a match that they care about, they're going to be nervous. They're going to be a little bit tight. You know, 1 out of 100 times do you step out there and just feel great and crank the ball right off the bat. So, you know, give yourself huge targets. Not only does that help you try and find a rhythm and confidence and feel good about yourself within that match, but you're also giving your opponent a chance to miss and you know, feel bad about themselves.
Right.
I always say start slow. Once you feel like, okay, I'm hitting all right, I feel fairly confident, then, you know, you step it up a little bit and start hitting where you're hitting in practice.
Sure. So in your opinion, that's the best way to kind of bridge this gap between being tentative and kind of, you know, just pushing the ball and just putting it in play, which, you know, don't get us wrong, guys. Just putting it in play is good, but we want to move past that here. We want you guys to be confident and be able to hit more strongly than that. So you think that's a good way of bridging the gap between being tentative and kind of all out? Start off easy, be consistent, but you know, give yourself a good margin for error. But we still want you guys swinging at a good confident pace. So what do you think, Jay? Starting off maybe, you know, 65-70% or something around there?
Well, no, I would even say that most people, and obviously different for everybody, some people might jump into it easier, but you can start off swinging as, you know, as hard as you normally would with a rally ball. Just aim another 5 feet in. Aim where the center line meets the service line.
Yeah,
aim somewhere that when you're taking that big cut and you miss by a little more than you normally would because you're tight and nervous or not warmed up, you know, it still finds its way into the court.
So
you don't feel like you're pushing, you're just easing into a match.
So ultimately our goal should be to really maintain a high competitiveness of Swain, but just kind of vary our targets to be appropriate with the match situation.
Yeah, you know, everybody, I think, safe to say, has had the feeling when they go out there of, oh my God, I can't hit anything in the first couple games. You know, you got to get past that. You got to find a way not to be down 3-love when that ends and you start to feel comfortable.
Right.
You know? And maybe with a little luck, you just make a few balls and your opponent does that to themselves.
Sure.
You win the easy way.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're pretty much out of time here, Jason. Anything else you want to throw in there before we quit, or do you think we've pretty well covered this?
I think we pretty well covered it. If anybody has any questions, obviously both of us are on the forums, and I love talking about this stuff especially.
Yeah.
Anything that has to do with matches and trying to find ways to win. So, hopefully that helps.
Yeah, I think it will. And, we could have taken really any one of these topics and really gone in depth with it and made it more technical. But, Sally, I wanted to give you and our other listeners a good kind of overall broad picture of what this should look like when it's done appropriately, that is hitting more aggressively and not just being timid and just pushing it back in play. We want you guys to increase in your skill as tennis players, and this is really how you do it in a singles match, is hitting confidently but doing it in an appropriate way. We want you guys to win more matches, and this is a great place to start. So Sally, thank you for your great question, and Jason, thank you for being on the show and discussing this with me. I think it's going to be a great value to our listeners. And hopefully we can have you back on the show again soon.
I'm always up for it. Thank you.
All right, that brings the Essential Tennis Podcast episode number 50 to a close. Thank you so much for joining me today, for downloading the podcast. I hope that it has been of help to you and it was good information, something that can really help you improve your game. That's always our goal here at Essential Tennis. Well, before we wrap up, just real quickly, I wanted to give you guys your last reminder about the Australian Open contest having to do with the chat. Just log into the chat during either the men's or women's final and send anything, and I'll enter you into that random drawing for 5 free sets of Gamma TNT2. Also, I wanted to mention quickly that you can stay in contact with Essential Tennis lots of different ways. You can find me on Twitter at Twitter/IanWesterman. That's IAN, and last name is Westerman, just like it sounds, but with 2 N's at the end. And you can also find Essential Tennis on Facebook. Just do a search for Essential Tennis, and we have a page there where you can find information about Essential Tennis and what's going on with the website, and you can find new content there as well. Okay, thanks very much for joining me today. Enjoy the rest of the Australian Open. Take care, and good luck with your tennis.